This is the IBJ Podcast for the week of April 20th, 2020, brought to you by the law firm Krieg DeVault. I'm Mason King. Welcome back to the podcast, everybody. I don't know if you're going to be able to tell, but I am recording today's podcast outside on my front stoop. I'm enjoying the curb appeal of my house. Inside, it is not quite so tidy. And our topic today, it turns out, is the business of buying and selling homes in the middle of a pandemic. And obviously, the residential real estate market has been thrown for a loop in the last month. First off, you know, the very nature of this public health crisis and of social distancing seems designed to dissuade you from making a big move. The message we hear every day is stay at home. And although residential real estate has become very digitally savvy in the last two decades, there are still some elements of this process that are all about face-to-face interaction, high-touch experiences, and gut feelings. You know, when I last bought a home, I knew within about 10 seconds of walking through the front door during the showing that this was what I wanted to see and feel every day when I got home. And I had several perfectly qualified real estate agents to choose from. I chose one based on how well we interacted face-to-face when I first had coffee with her. So how is it that people are still buying and selling homes at a pretty good clip in central Indiana when public officials want us to severely limit personal contact and any non-essential travel outside the home? Well, good real estate agents are nothing if not entrepreneurial, and they've created some pretty clever workarounds. Now, there's a second troublesome element to the coronavirus crisis, sort of the left hook that follows the roundhouse right. Most economists think that we're headed into a recession if we're not already in it. And with so many people losing their jobs, or at least intensely worried about losing their jobs, it seems obvious that home sales will take a hit, probably a pretty big hit. And in fact, just last week, the national mortgage finance company, Fannie Mae, released a report predicting that existing home sales in the United States will fall by nearly 15% this year. However, although Indianapolis is more or less in the middle of the country, it is not necessarily representative of the country. So I asked two of the most knowledgeable people in central Indiana to talk about the real estate market and what has changed in just the last month to 6 weeks about buying and selling a home. One is the head of MIBOR, which you might know as the Metropolitan Indianapolis Board of Realtors. And the other is the leader of the largest residential real estate agency in the metro area. I'm sure you can guess what it is. Here's our conversation. First, I'd like to introduce Shelley Specchio, who is CEO of Indianapolis-based organization MIBOR, which represents more than 8,000 realtors in central Indiana. Shelley, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Mason.
And I'd also like to introduce Jim Litton, who is president of the F.C. Tucker Company, central Indiana's largest residential real estate agency. It has roughly, Jim, tell me if I'm wrong, 660 licensed agents who participated in more than 11,000 transactions in 2019.
That's correct. Many of us have been in the business a long time, and we've had different things that we've faced over the years, whether it was 18% interest rates, 13% unemployment. I heard someone say the other day, some of the things that we've had before were like tornadoes and hurricanes. This is like a blizzard. The snow will melt and we'll get on with it.
Now, since I contacted both of you to schedule the interview, Fannie Mae released a report predicting that I think existing home sales in the United States will fall by nearly 15% in 2020. And based on what you know now, does that sound about right for central Indiana? Or is there a reason to believe it could be better or worse?
The fourth quarter of last year, of 2019, was the strongest fourth quarter that I can ever remember. The first 2 months of this year, January and February, were outstanding. And our sales as a company were up 26% at the end of February. And then when we got into March, March was very strong the first 15 days. And then it started falling. My prediction would be that there is going to be a setback in the market, and we're certainly seeing it right now. There's a retraction in the number of sales that are going on. But I think when this ends, there's going to be a healing period, and who only knows how long that's going to take. But I think that the fundamentals of the housing market in central Indiana are so strong that once we get back to a new normal, whatever that is and whenever it is, we're going to see the market pick back up. I don't know if it's realistic to think that we will be off 15% at the end of this year. I doubt that we will exceed last year's numbers. I just don't see that happening, because right now we're seeing the numbers drop off pretty severely.
How so? How severely?
Well, sales have been down 35% in the last 2 weeks.
And that's comparison to last year at this time?
Compared to last year, the corresponding period last year. Now, again, granted, we came into that period with an excess of sales, but with sales being off 35%, and then Shelley can report on this probably more accurately than I can. One of the things that we've monitored for 20 years is the activity on our listings. In other words, the number of showings that are taking place on our activities, and there's been a direct correlation between the number of showings that are taking place and what the market's going to do 30 or 60 days from now. And right now, our showings in the last couple of weeks have been down over 50%. Now, that number is not real accurate. I mean, because there are an awful lot of virtual showings that are going on right now that we can't track. But even if 10% of the showings are virtual, that would still mean that the number of showings of people going out and looking at property are down 40%. That will be a good barometer for us to look at. And when we see those numbers starting to change, we're going to realize that the market is turning.
I would just jump in on that, especially for showings. We've done a lot of conversation with the members, of course, about showings. It's a difficult time, and we're really encouraging the virtual showings, but it happens in such a different way. It's just very, very difficult to track, but we're really encouraging it. We're sharing tips for how to accomplish that, and allowing the listings. We even created a virtual open house within our technology, so that members can share the fact that it's going to be a virtual open house at a certain time. Because we really want to honor both the letter and the spirit of the executive order from the governor to really keep this community safe and not spread the virus. Because the sooner we can get back to work, because we've beaten back this virus, the better these numbers work. And I would just agree with everything Jim said about the market numbers. We're tracking them week over week right now, which is not our normal. We did all just release our March numbers. As you know, those were just sent out and published. And they were so strong. And I just think that it's such a strong market coming in from January through February and even the first 2 weeks of March, that the momentum of that really great market has carried us through. So when you look at the market statistics right now for the month of March, you think, wow, you don't see hardly even a blip because it was so strong leading into the first part of that month. But when you track it week over week over week, you're seeing exactly what Jim said, a drop. And I would say that we'll probably hit 20 to 25% below sales in April. So April's going to be really bad. We're going to see this is part of that deep V that they're talking about in the economy overall. But I totally agree with what Jim said, that I think there's going to be a exuberance on the other end of this. So I think probably nationally, Fannie Mae, I mean, they know their business. If they're saying a 15% dip, that's probably right for the nation. But I don't think it will be perhaps that bad for central Indiana, so long as we all stay home until we can get through the coronavirus so that we can get back to work.
I've been thinking about this in terms of being two different problems. I mean, one is the public health problem, which keeps people from going to showings the way they're used to, that keeps people at home, that makes them think, you know, I don't need to worry about buying a house right now. I don't need to worry about selling my house right now. But then there is the recession that, you know, depending on who you talk to, is either going to be nearly as bad as the Depression or maybe a little bit less bad than the last recession. Shouldn't we be concerned that this new recession that allegedly is coming up is really going to curtail home sales? If people just don't have the kind of assets that they had before, they'd have the same kind of savings or investments.
You know, I was just watching some of the national news earlier today, and there are states right now that are really rattling the sabers about opening back up. The sooner everybody opens up, the sooner we're going to mitigate the effects of the recession. With that said, though, if we open up too soon, are we going to get a double dip? I know a lot of our agents are just chomping at the bit to get back out there and do what they do. In fact, you know, we get calls regularly saying, open it back up, let's go. And I keep saying to them, look, the worst thing that we can do is for the governor or anybody else to open it up too soon. And then all of a sudden, in June and July, we're back in it again, and we go through it a second time. I would rather feel the pain right now and get through it and come out on the other side healthy and go into the third and fourth quarter of the year with a healthy society. And I think business will take care of itself. I agree with Shelley. When you look at the underlying economics of Central Indiana, except for the unemployment that's occurring right now, and you know, much of that unemployment, when the market is opened back up, will come right back. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of that's going to come right back. When you look at the recession of 08 through 13, a lot of that unemployment did not come back.
Are we seeing a decrease in the number of listings, people who would be otherwise be interested in selling their homes?
We are seeing a decrease in the number of listings since we're tracking it, as I said, week over week. And if we go back through these last few weeks, it has dropped quite a bit. But what's interesting is this last week, it rebounded a little bit. So our average number of new listings is right in the around 900 or so per week. And so this week we had 643 new listings. So when you use like a real number like that, I think it's compelling. 643 people put their listing, they trusted their agent and they put their listing into this marketplace right now for whatever reason. And that's up from last week. So I don't know. I was giving a speech earlier today and I said, I know I'm kind of prone to be the silver lining girl, so I don't want to be overly silver lining. But just seeing these little ticks, we have a little tick up in new listings and we have a flattening of contracts falling out and we have more closings than last week. So all of these little ticks indicate to me that there's still confidence in the marketplace by the consumer, by the buyer and seller, and that our members are starting to figure out how to transact these deals in this new era. So, you know, the governor put a fast track on making effective the remote online notary. So that's helping make sure closings are happening. The county recorders had to figure out how to work from home and still record deeds. That's happening. Our members are showing houses virtually and dealing with all the writing of offers, et cetera. All the inspections are happening with care for making sure the safety of everyone involved. So it's taken a couple of weeks to get here. But we're seeing these little ticks up, which, you know, we'll talk again next week maybe and see if they hold. But they might be the showing of a little bit of a silver lining.
You know, Mason, before the market started slowing down the middle of the month, it wasn't uncommon that if someone would put their home on the market, they would get multiple offers in a day. Mm-hmm. And the house would be a bidding war. We are still seeing homes going on the market and selling in a day or two. We're seeing that happen multiple times a day in many of our offices. And that just shows me that there's an awful lot of folks out there that have a real estate need and they're going through with their plans.
Is that a function of there being so little product on the market though?
I definitely think it is. I definitely think that, you know, I mean, what we've experienced here in Central Indiana, and Shelley can weigh in on this because she's been on the national scene. You know, years ago, we would hear about different markets in California and the East Coast where people would get 10 or 12 offers on their home and they'd have to write love letters to the seller as to why they should sell their home to this person. And I kept thinking, we've never seen anything like that in Indiana. Well, the last year or so, that's been, unfortunately, the norm. And I can't tell you how many people that have written offers on properties, multiple offers on multiple homes, and get beat out on them every time. So the frustration level, because of this lack of inventory, has been very, very stressful on the consumer and certainly on the agents.
All right, let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsor. This is the IBJ Podcast.
The IBJ Podcast is brought to you by Creek DeVault, a trusted and dynamic law firm representing a wide variety of local, regional, and national clients. Committed to each other and to every client, Creek DeVault prides itself on integrity, professionalism, respect, and excellence. Financial institutions, global manufacturers, national healthcare providers, and successful organizations of all sizes and market focus rely on Creek DeVault to create innovative and successful business solutions. Connect today at www.creekdevault.com.
All right, we're back with the IBJ Podcast. This week, we're talking with Shelley Specchio of MIBOR and Jim Litton of FC Tucker Company about how buying and selling homes has abruptly changed under social distancing guidelines.
How many homes are on the market right now in Central Indiana compared to maybe the same time last year?
I've got, in March, when we released our March data, we had 4,032 active listings. That was up 3.2% over last month and down 12.8% over last year. Since October, about the middle of October 2019, there has been a steady decline of active inventory. In this last month, more inventory sold than was active on the market in that time. It's really tight, less than 2 months of inventory as far as absorption rate. So it's been really tight for a long time.
How's my experience as a seller different right now than it would have been a year ago? I mean, what has changed? If, for example, you mentioned the virtual showings. I'm not exactly sure what that is.
Sure. I'll give you the macro and I'll let Jim do the micro because I'm sure he's coaching his agents right now on this. I would say that because we're so encouraging people to do as much as remote as you can. The executive order was very clear. It says no face-to-face. If you have to do it face-to-face, it should be postponed unless it's absolutely necessary for the financial or legal health of the consumer. So everything as much done virtually as possible. So we're encouraging, we're saying, you know, you can have a Zoom call like this for the listing contract discussion and negotiation and explaining the documents. We're saying, you know, your seller could probably take the pictures of the house. They're not as going to be as good as the professional photography that the agent would have provided, but at least they'll be. And so in our broker listing cooperative, we have increased the number of photos to 60 so that the buying consumer can look past the poorly taken photos, perhaps if they're not professional, and see more of them and really get a feel for that property. So the agent can upload those. And then again, showings, virtual showings and virtual open houses is just different, but it's not necessarily a bad thing. But, you know, it's one of the frictions that happen as a seller anyway. It's one of the uncomfortable pieces of selling your house, of having to pack up the family and go out to breakfast so that people could show your house. Some of these new innovations and the ingenuity of our members, some of it's going to stick and some of it's going to carry over even when we're not in this situation.
You know, the other thing that that we have been coaching our sellers on, Mason, is that if it's imperative because of excessive financial problems that their home needs to be physically shown, to go through their home before the showing and open all the doors, wipe everything down, turn on all the lights so people, when they come through, they're not touching anything. We've encouraged our agents to wear, obviously, masks and to wear gloves and to meet their clients at the home. And if the client doesn't have a mask or gloves, give them to them. I would suspect that a lot of sellers right now are very gun shy about allowing anybody into their home. And I certainly understand that. But then there are others that are, you know, in a financial situation that dictates that they've got to get their home sold. Mm. So they're willing to just to do about anything to get it sold. So, the message that we've been giving our sales associates is that caution. You cannot be too cautious in an environment like this. The governor has given us the ability to do our business. He could take that away as easily as he's given it to us if he finds that we're not being good stewards.
Are there really any traditional open houses happening now?
No, not in our organization.
How big a deal is that from the perspective of the agents? My brother is an agent, and he has always told me that open houses were incredibly valuable, not necessarily mm-hmm. for showing off the house, but for meeting people who are looking for a house and developing a relationship face-to-face.
Exactly, and you're dead on. In a normalized market, an agent, for them to be out in an open house and to meet people and make new relationships, you know, the odds of them selling the home that they are holding open are very slim. But the fact of the matter is, if the agent is impressive to the consumer coming in and the consumer does not have an agent, there's a good chance that that agent may pick up another client. And we find that on a normal weekend, in a normal market, we have hundreds of open houses a week, and our agents continue to do them.
How do you make that work virtually by having a virtual open house? How does that whole thing happen?
Well, the way it's done right now is that either the agents are hiring someone to go in and video the home, or the agents themselves are videoing the home. Then they're putting it online for the consumer to look at. I still think the consumer wants to get in and see the home. Although we have had cases that they've bought them based upon seeing a virtual tour.
No kidding.
And they usually will buy it with some kind of a contingency that gives them a week or two to go in and really have a look-see.
The way I imagined the virtual open house was that it actually would like take place in real time, like between mm-hmm. like noon and 3 on a Sunday. The mm-hmm. realtor would be available to answer questions.
What? We're seeing a lot of like FaceTime Live or Facebook Live or Google Meetup or, you know, using that kind of technology that's live in that moment, but it becomes a recording. And so long as the agent, the buyer's agent for the buyer and the listing agent for the listing are available to answer all the questions, then it's a legitimate experience, right? So they're available and they're online for that time frame. So sometimes even, Jim, have you seen this, that the seller is the one walking around with the Facebook, their home, and they have Facebook open and it's Facebook Live. And then the agent's dialed in, and so it's their voice and they're talking through all this. How's the saying go? Necessity is the mother of invention.
How has the process of closing changed? Because my recollection of my closing was that there were 5 people together in a room for about an hour changing pens, which I guess you can't really do anymore.
You know, one of the big thing, and we have our own title company that does closings, and it's called Title Services. And the thing that we have done is we have encouraged the agents not to come to the closing or to the unless they absolutely need to be there. And then we have separated the buyers and sellers into different rooms. After every closing, the room is sanitized. The people are given gloves when they come in. The pens that they sign the documents are either thrown away after the closing or we give them the pens so that no one is in the same room together. The agents are typically available by telecommunication in case the consumer should have a question.
I've heard something called, is it a drive-up closing or a drive-through closing? Mm-hmm. Can you guys educate me on that? What does that mean?
We've had companies in the city where the people come in their cars and they sit in their cars and the closing representative takes the documents to one car and hands those to them and explains it to them and they sign it. They get them back and they go back to the next car and do it.
Shelly, you mentioned when we were corresponding that you had a lot of Zoom meetings recently. I'm curious, what are people asking? What do people want to know?
Oh, all of this. We have an amazing amount of resources that we're curating for our members on our website. And so I'm even doing Facebook Live videos and having lots of meetings with our membership. Today I met with, we have divisions, and so I'm speaking to members. When they gather, they're gathering instead of in person together at a meeting place, they're gathering on Zoom. And so there's a whole checkerboard of, you know, all the faces of, I think there were 40 or so people on the one that today for Shelby County. So mostly I'm just sharing all of this sort of same information. This is what we're seeing in the market. This is what we're, this is what the governor means when he says executive orders, you know. Mm-hmm. And mostly we're reminding members too that sort of what you were saying about missing the open house, missing the opportunity to build a relationship with clients. It's a very important part. There's never been a more important time for our members to be reaching out to all their past and, you know, everyone, because many, many, many people will be unemployed, as you know, right now. And they're watching the news and they're learning words that they've never heard before. Like there's mortgage forbearance. What's that mean? Oh, I think that means I don't have to pay my mortgage. Okay, I'll stop paying my mortgage. No, more than anything, it's important for our members to be reaching out to everyone they know and making sure that they understand all of the really integral parts of what the stimulus package, because one of the differences between 2008 and this situation is that the government really has acted quickly and has given a really good economic stimulus to keep us from going into a true financial meltdown, right? So, but that doesn't mean that it's all very well explained. And one of the realtor is so much more than just a person who sells a house or helps you buy a house. A realtor is your advocate. And so, and they're your advisor, and they have all this information. So we're encouraging them to make sure they are all well rehearsed and they really understand some of these stimulus packages. If they have a client who owns a small business, call them up, make sure they're comfortable with the SBA 7A loan applications or the payment protection. Or if they have lost their job and they're in a situation where they might be thinking they will skip a mortgage payment, to make sure they've contacted their servicer in advance and they have all that information.
If I'm considering selling my house, give me the best argument for letting all my anxiety go and doing it.
I would say to you, based upon the inventory that's out there and the absorption of properties that has been so robust, that there's no better time to put your house on the market, as long as you can deal with the showing of it. Just because with this inventory in our market, I mean, right now we have about a 2-month supply of homes based upon current absorption. When this thing does break loose, it's probably going to take 30 or 45 days, maybe 60 days. But I think, I mean, our projections are is that it's going to go back to where it was in January and February.
And if I'm interested in buying a house, give me an argument for trying to get out there and do something.
If you're a buyer right now, with the number of buyers being down in the market, you have a better chance of buying a property than you would in a market that was overheated like we had the first 75 days of the year. So, I mean, it's just like I mentioned earlier, I gave an example of someone putting a house on the market and selling in 2 days, but they didn't have multiple offers. If that would have occurred 30 days ago, there could have been 5 to 10 offers on that property, and it could have become a bidding war. So I would say to consumers, there's no time better than the present. Interest rates right now today were 3.3%. Those rates are still good. And, you know, who knows when this thing ends and the federal government has got to deal with all this money that they've given away, what's going to happen to the interest rates? What's going to happen to inflation? What's going to happen to taxation? Who knows? I mean, I'm not, That's above my pay grade to figure that out. But the fact of the matter is, it's probably not going to stay the same way it is.
My thanks again to Shelley Specchio and Jim Litton. If you'd like to learn more about today's topic, IBJ's Mickey Shuey has a story in the latest print edition of IBJ with more perspective from realtors as they try to navigate these changes. Also in this week's issue, you should check out John Russell's story about Indiana's readiness for a public health crisis. A national report issued in February ranked Indiana near the bottom of states in terms of emergency preparedness. And today, it's trying to make do with public health funding that ranks among the lowest in the nation. And Sam Quinn explains how Indiana colleges and universities are trying to get a handle on how the coronavirus crisis will impact its next class of freshmen. The brewing recession could have far-reaching consequences on enrollment.
What's we're up? Almost ready to eat.
Okay, I'll be there in a second, okay?
Okay.
All right. Sorry about that. Again, you can read these stories in the latest print edition of IBJ or online at ibj.com. Most of our coverage of the coronavirus crisis can be accessed for free on the website for all readers, and that includes our continuously updated digest of the latest news. It's called The Latest, and you'll see it on the IBJ homepage. And remember, for unfettered access to all of IBJ's award-winning business content from today, yesterday,
Daddy,
yeah, what's up?
We have also got some salad.
Oh, salad, that's awesome. Great.
We've got some peppers and some apple in the salad.
That's my favorite. Oh my God, thank you. Hit the subscribe button. Thanks again for making time this week for the IBJ podcast. I'm Mason King. That was my son. Hang in there. We'll be back again next week.